This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasleeman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, my brothers and sisters, we are on the series on Khutbatul Wada, the farewell khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we were talking about what kind of role models we want to be. I remind myself and you that, especially if you are a parent, but also if you are a teacher, two things that if you are a parent or you are a teacher. And of course this applies also to practically everything else, but especially to parents and teachers. Remember, you are a role model anyway. It doesn't matter whether you want to be a role model or not, you are one. Your choice, and you're the question that you need to ask yourself and I need to ask myself, is what kind of role model do I want to be? Do I want to be a role model about whom, when my student thinks or my child thinks about me, he says, Alhamdulillah, that Allah gave me such a role model? Or do you want to be somebody who, when your student or your child or anyone who came into contact with you thinks about you, they say, Astaghfirullah. That is our choice. Right? Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be somebody whose passing is regretted and they make dua for you and your forgiveness, or your passing is a day of celebration as far as they are concerned? Thank God he's gone. And therefore it's very important to keep this in mind constantly. As I keep reminding myself and telling you as well, which is that this is not a choice. It's not a choice of saying, well, I don't want to be a role model. Well, if you don't want to be a role model, the only way that you are going to achieve that is by probably going and stay living by yourself somewhere in the backdam and, you know, completely going off-grid, then maybe you have a chance. But other than that, if you are in society, if you are living among people, especially if you are a parent and a teacher, but even if you are neither a parent nor a teacher, if you are just a member of society, member of a community, a member of an organization, and so on, you are up there, visible, and you are creating examples, and you are creating memories for people. Now, what is the kind of memory that you want to leave behind? It's not a matter of whether we are not doing this to show anybody. It's not a question of, you know, whether people will appreciate it or not. Most people don't. Think about all the importance of thanking people, right? Which we, of course, I keep on harping on it all the time, because this is what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala told us to do. This is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us to do. But how many of us thank those who have who we have benefited from? So we are not doing it for them. You're doing it because also this is our record. This is our record before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what we will be questioned about, and therefore keep that in mind. We seem to live in a strange world and with a strange attitude that we don't hesitate to criticize anybody, but we get very embarrassed to show affection or to appreciate the good that we receive from anyone. So we are very quick to criticize people, but we are not equally quick or, you know, even willing halfway to appreciate what people do for us. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ said two things about this. It is narrated from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu that a man was with Rasulullah ﷺ when another man passed by, and the man who was with Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, I love this man. He pointed at the other man and said, oh, this is a beautiful human being. I said, I love this person. Rasulullah said, asked him, he said, have you told him that? This man said, no. Nabi said, tell him. So this man caught up with him and he said to him, I love you for the sake of Allah. And the man replied, may the one for whose sake you love me also love you. And this is in Abi Dawud. In another narration, by Abi Dunya in Al-Ikhwan, Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, tell him, for it will strengthen the love between you. So do that, right? Do that before you go any further. If there is somebody you love, then go and tell them that. And start with the closest to you, your own spouses, your own children. your own students, your own teachers, your own the people who work for you, and so on and so forth, right? Appreciate. I mean, you don't have to tell everybody that you love them, but you love them. Even if you don't love them, appreciate what they do. Think about what they do. See how it affects you and helps you. Rasulullah SAW also mentioned in Tirmidhi, narrated by Al-Miqdam, Ibn Ma'adi Yaqrib, that he said, if one of you loves his brother, let him tell him. So this is the same hadith and the same reminder. It was narrated from Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn al-Ali ibn al-Abi Talib. So this is the grandson of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, the son of Husayn bin Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in, who said that Rasulullah said, if one of you loves his brother for the sake of Allah, let him tell him that, for it does good and makes the love last. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah said, the one who does not thank people for the good things they do for him is not thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah who said, he who does not thank people does not thank Allah. And this is in Musnad and Tirmidhi. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever does you a favor, then reciprocate. And if you cannot find anything with which to reciprocate, then pray for him. Make dua for him until you think that you have reciprocated what he did for you. And this is in Abi Dawud. In another hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever has a favor done for him and says to the one who did it, Jazakallahu khairan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you with the best, has done enough to thank him. And this is in Tirmidhi. So instead of saying thank you and shukriya and whatnot, say Jazakallahu khairan. This is not about Arabic, Urdu or English. It is about giving a dua. Shukriya and thank you are not duas. You can say it, it's not haram. But Jazakallahu khairan is a dua. A person who did something for you deserves that you do something for them in return. I have mentioned this story in other places, but I think it's appropriate here to also mention it. I was teaching a course in Chennai, and it was a coincidentally, it was a group of Tamil Brahmin people. The whole course. It was a leadership course for GE, and so these were all. They were all engineers and some IT, some mechanical, and so on and so forth. But all of them were IIT graduates, or some of them were REC also. But anyway, so these were all highly qualified engineers working for General Electric. And it so happened that they were all Tamil Brahmins. Now, I speak Tamil fluently, as some of you may know. So towards the end of the first day, it was a two-day leadership course. Towards the end of the first day, I talked about the importance of being thankful, because it's a very important leadership quality to thank the people who you lead, to thank your followers, to thank team members and so on. So I talked about that. And I asked them a question. I said to them, for those of you who don't know, in Tamil Nadu, and especially with the Brahmins, there is a custom which is that the first person to wake up in the house is the lady of the house, right? Is the mother, wife, sister, whoever. Then she wakes up, she has a bath, and then she goes and she does her puja. She prays to, you know, her gods, and then she goes into the kitchen and she makes coffee. They drink freshly brewed coffee, freshly ground beans, and they freshly brewed coffee. And there is really nothing as wonderful as that coffee. I mean, I have, in my plantation days, I literally sort of grew up on that coffee. It's a very, very beautiful coffee. There's nothing that comes even close to the coffee in Tamil Nadu. So this is the ritual. So now the lady makes coffee. Then the men wake up and she brings the coffee for them. So they drink coffee and they read the Hindu newspaper. There's a newspaper called The Hindu. They read the Hindu newspaper. It's a very good newspaper. It has, it's very, you know, middle of the line and good reporting, usually good English language also in it. So this is the ritual. So the mother wakes up, makes the coffee. By then the sons and the husband and whoever wake up, and she brings them the coffee and they drink coffee and they read the paper. Now, so I asked them, I began my thing on being thankful. So I asked them, I said, tell me, what if one day this coffee doesn't come? Right? You wake up one day and there is no coffee. Now there was this literally the look of horror on their faces. Oh, they said that would be, you know, terrible. I mean, how can it be a good day if there is no coffee? So I said, then let me ask you a question. I said, how many of you thanked the lady of the house who brings that coffee for you, who makes the coffee for you every single day of her life? Whether it's your mother, your wife, your daughter, your sister, whoever. It's always the woman. The man never does it. So he said, have you ever thanked that lady for that coffee? Now there was dead silence. So honest people, I mean, they didn't lie. I know they never thanked, but you know. Then there was one guy who was sitting right in front, and he was an older man. He started, he looked like he was on the point of bursting out laughing. So I said, what's so funny? I mean, I said, did I make a joke? I mean, what's so funny? You know, share it with us. He said, no, sir, I'm not being funny. It's just that I thought to myself that if I go and thank my wife, she will die of shock. So I said, let her die happy, you know, go feel free, go thank her. So anyway, we all had a good laugh and so on. Day finished, they all went home. The following morning, now my practice is if I'm teaching a course, I always come, I arrive at the scene at least half an hour early. Right? So sometimes maybe a little bit longer, a little bit more, but usually about half an hour early, I come to the place. So, and then I do my setup and I, you know, get myself accustomed to the space and so on. And if there is tea and coffee, then, you know, I have my own cup of coffee. So I came that day and I'm sitting there with my laptop, everything set up, and I'm having my coffee. When one young fellow from my class, who was there in the class the previous day, he came. And he came straight to me and he said, sir, Wanakam. I said, Wanakam. He said, sir, my mother said to thank you. I said, well, thank you, but your mother said to thank me for what? I don't know your mother. Who's your mother? He said, no, sir, and he looked very sheepish. He said, no, sir, yesterday after I finished from this class, I went home and I thanked my mother. And I said to her, thank you very much for making this coffee for us every day. So my mother, she said her response immediately was, who told you to say that? So I laughed. I said, it looks like your mother knows you. He said, yeah, she knows me. So she said, who told you to say that? So he said, well, you know, I tried to pretend. I tried to say, well, nobody told me. I thought of it. She said, no, I know you very well. Don't lie to me. Somebody told you. Who told you? So he said, I told her this whole story. I said, this is our teacher and this is what he said, and so on. So she said, tomorrow morning, first thing, go and thank your teacher for telling you this. Thank your teacher from on my behalf. Right? Now imagine, this is how powerful thankfulness is. It makes the other person show, it shows the other person that you appreciate. And believe me, it's a huge, huge motivator. Huge motivator. People will do more for you. They will give you better quality stuff. They will not just be happy. They will be happy. They will appreciate it, even though sometimes they may not show it, right? Especially if you look at the current modern generation, the people who are born, in the year 2000 and onwards, maybe even people from 1990 onwards, or 2000 onwards, definitely. So I'm talking about teenagers, early 20s. Usually they are, not very responsive, right? If you thank them, if you say something, not very responsive. But my experience with them is that they're very nice people at heart. And even though they may not respond immediately on the face and so on, it shows throughout. And once in a while somebody drops a line or somebody says something which shows you that everything you said was registering, even though they look like they were dumb or they look like they didn't care less and so on. That's the cool image that they are trying to project to the world, that I don't care, I have no feelings. But that's not how they are. They actually have more feelings than my generation did. But they are responsive, they appreciate it. So do that. Thank your children, thank your students, thank your parents, teachers, thank everybody. Thank everybody. It's a very nice thing to thank people. So let's change our and let's bring our hearts together. Let's clean our hearts. Don't sleep tonight until you have thanked those who do favors for you day in and day out. And those who work in your homes, who work for you and all do stuff for you, great and small. Think about, most of us masjid-going Muslims, in America especially, there is somebody who cleans the masjid for you, right? Whoever, usually it's one of the community members, maybe he or she is not, obviously they're not wealthy. So they're doing the cleaning of the masjid. Maybe it's a firm that you have hired out. But the firm is a business. The people working in the firm, they're human beings like you and me. How many times do we thank that person? Right? I want to ask this question to the masjid boards. How many times have you, you give all kinds of awards, right? This is another thing in America. We award for this, award for that. How many times have you given an award to the person who cleans the masjid? And if you haven't done it, why have you not done it? Right? Isn't it not important? If nobody cleans the masjid, will you not feel that? So when somebody is cleaning the masjid, what's our appreciation? These are very important things that we must do. And anyone who wants to answer this by saying, well, don't they know? Then my simple answer to you is, doesn't Allah know? And if Allah knows, and still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who thanks me, I will increase my blessing for him, and the one who doesn't thank me, let him beware of my punishment. Doesn't Allah know? So why is Allah saying this? Because thanking is about us. It is not about the other person. It's not about whether the other person knows or doesn't know or not. It's about you as a human being. Do you have the decency? Do you have the honor? Do you have the integrity to appreciate and to acknowledge and to be thankful and grateful for something good that came to you and that you don't take it for granted? My brothers and sisters, make it a conscious habit to say at least one good thing to your family members every day. Consciously think about this. What is the good thing that I said to my family today? Right? Express one thing that you appreciate about them. Do that. One thing that you appreciate about them, express it to them. If necessary, carry a notebook and note down what you like about them. Right? We have, I don't think we need to have a notebook to figure out what we don't like. Right? Usually we are very good at that. But what do you like about them? Do that consciously. Tell your husband, tell your wife, tell whoever, your family people, one thing that you like about them. And do that every day. Every day, one thing that you like about them. Believe me, you have more things that you like than what you dislike. But do you express that? It doesn't take intelligence to find people's faults. Any dog can do that. That's why we use them to detect crimes. But it takes intelligence and a big heart and great wisdom to spend your time looking for the good in people and expressing your appreciation for it. So make this a rule for yourself, that you will not eat or sleep until you have expressed your appreciation to your family, at least one good thing. And by all means, extend that to others who are in touch with you, who you work with, who you meet, and so on and so forth. Strangers on the bus, on the train, in shops. Say at least one good thing to them. Every time you go into a shop, say to yourself that I'm going to say one good thing to somebody here in the shop. Whoever it is. Maybe a customer, a fellow customer like you, maybe a shopkeeper, maybe one of the helpers, whoever. Make it an absolute rule for yourself. I will not encounter or use any service or be in any place until and unless I have said at least one good thing to at least one person. And that's least. But start with your family. Start with your family. Rasulullah sallallahu was in the masjid with his companions and his friends. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was with them when they heard some recitation of the Quran. And they saw Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu in Salah. And he was reciting aloud. This is Nafil Salah. He was not leading Salah or anything, because otherwise the Salah Rasulullah would have led. So he's praying in one corner. Rasulullah says to his companions, he said, if you want to listen to the Quran as pure as the day it was revealed, then listen to the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said this, they listened to that for a while, then they left. Now, soon thereafter, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu came looking for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu, and he told him, I have some good news for you. And then he said, this is what Rasulullah said about your recitation. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu thanked him, and he said, Abu Bakr was here just now radiallahu anhu, and he told me about this. Then think about this, what beautiful companionship is this, which spreads only good. Today, we never hesitate, we hasten to pass on bad things, but good we take for granted. Somebody criticizes someone somewhere behind his back, whoever was there will take time and trouble and expense, and he'll make a phone call or he'll come and he will say, you know, I was in such and such a place, this is what so and so was saying about you, and that is something critical, something bad. You make one mistake and they are jumping down your throat. But you do 1,000 good things, everything is taken for granted. Mistakes we stockpile. We are the world's greatest garbage collectors. And that's why we stink. What do you think will happen if you collect garbage? Greatest garbage collectors. What is that garbage? Negative stuff about people. So-and-so did this on this day, on that day, and this place, and whatnot, and whatnot. But just stop for a second and say, now think about the good things that person did. That is why our relationships are so bad. Gratitude is a cure. Gratitude is balm on the pain. Gratitude is medicine. Consciously think about the good that somebody does for you. Yeah, we take it from, yeah, that is true, but, no but, forget the but. Think about that. One of my teachers, if anyone went to him and said, Sheikh, you know what so-and-so was saying about you, he would say, if it is good, tell me. If it is not, make dua for me. He said, I don't want to spoil my impression of that person because of what you may tell me. He refused to listen. He refused to listen to anyone who would say something negative. Right? And this is a beautiful, beautiful habit which I want to strongly promote for you. And finally, in this whole thing, let me assure you that you are not doing any favor to the person who you thank or you appreciate. The favor is to yourself. You are thanking them because what they did for you earlier, before. So do it for yourself and see how you feel after that. That is your reward. Let me clarify that the rights of the man are not dependent on being a good husband. He is entitled to those rights just by being a husband. The wife is ordered to obey her husband in all legitimate and halal matters, irrespective of his behavior towards her. Her obedience to him is because he is her husband and is not conditional on his behavior. Just like the behavior, the order of obeying parents is not only for parents who are nice to the children. You obey the parents because they are parents. And as long as they don't tell you to disobey Allah, as long as they don't tell you to commit shirk, whatever they say must be obeyed. And the children must treat them well, irrespective of how they treat the children. Now obviously it would be very stupid and oxymoronic if anyone believes that by this I am saying that husbands can treat their wives anyway, they can abuse them, they can curse them, they can beat them, but they are still entitled to this obedience and so on and so forth. They may be entitled, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them for their bad behavior. So also the parents, it is not a license for the parents to say that just because they are your children, you can treat them like dogs. No, you can't. You cannot. You have to treat them well. You are responsible for their tarbiyah. You are responsible for being good to them, for raising them as good people, as good Muslims. And if you don't do that, then this will become a reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish you, because this comes under huquq-ul ibad. So it's a very good, it's an important thing to understand this. So the person who is oppressing will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will accept the dua of the wife against the husband against the wife, the children against the parents, parents against children, if that dua is justified. So beware and be warned against the dua of the oppressed, no matter who that oppressed is, and do not be an oppressor under any circumstances. When Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu returned from Sham, he prostrated to Rasulullah. He made sujood to Rasulullah, sajda of ta'zeem, right? He was not worshipping the Prophet, sajda of ta'zeem. Now those people who say that sajda of ta'zeem is jais, it is not jais, it is haram in Islam. Any sajda is haram. But Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, when he returned from Sham, he made sujood to Rasulullah. Rasulullah said, "What is this, Mu'adh?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, when I went to Sham, I saw the people making sujood to their priests and to their bishops and to the king. So I told myself that I would like to do this to you because you are the Rasul of Allah." Rasulullah forbade it. He said, "Don't do that." He said, "Do not make sajda to me." He said, "If I were to order anyone to make sajda to anyone else," again, remember, this is not sajda of worship, it is sajda of ta'zim. He said, "If I," ta'zim is sajda of respect. He said, "If I were to order anyone to make sajda to anyone else, I would order the woman to make sajda to her husband due to his, to the greatness of his right over her." Now, which means what? Which means that even sajda of ta'zim to your husband is not permitted. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "If I were to permit it, this is what I would do." Which means what? It is not permitted. But show gratitude. Rasulullah also said, "The one person in the world whom the woman owes the greatest right is her husband. And the one person in the world to whom a man owes the greatest right is his mother. Any woman who that dies and her husband is happy with her will enter Jannah. The right of a woman over her spouse, over her husband, is that if he obtains food, he feeds her. When he obtains clothing, he clothes her. That he does not hit her face, he does not insult her, and that he does not stay away from her," meaning physical relationship. And this is in Ibn Majah and Tirmidhi. Now it's very, very important here to understand this, that what is the right of the husband on the woman. It's very, sometimes people feel, women who feel that, "Oh, my parents have a right on me, and brothers, sisters, whoever, they did so many good things for me." Think about this. Usually in our societies, a woman will get married when she is maybe 20, maybe 18, maybe 19, maybe 20, 21, right? So effectively you say you stayed with your parents for 21 years or 20 years or whatever. But in the marriage, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, gives us long lives and good marriages. So in the marriage now, you would have stayed with your husband for 40 years. So you actually, the husband took care of you for 40 years, whereas your father took care of you for 20 years. So what is the right of the husband? And you want to treat the husband as if he has no right? Think about this. Now all of this, let me close by saying that it may appear that this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law is male-oriented, but it's essential not to fall into the trap of these false ideas, which promote slavery in the name of freedom. Feminism is the most insidious tactic of the West to take the woman out of the house and into the workforce. I have spoken about this in detail before, so I won't repeat it, but I request my sisters not to fall into this trap. Feminism is slavery to the male in another form. Islam made you independent and honorable and powerful. Islam made you the molder of generations. Anyone who wants to exchange that for answering phone calls or working in a call center or something is seriously deficient in intelligence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law strengthens the family, as that is the fundamental unit of society. Islam places great emphasis on the family for this reason. And that is why the man has been given the role of being its head, with all the responsibilities and accountability that goes with it. It is not a question of male superiority, it's a question of accountability. It's a question of role clarity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not distinguished between genders with respect to reward. Both have the same reward, with special considerations for women which men don't have. Islam promotes equity, not equality, because equality between the differently endowed is unjust. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.